Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Brett, I got Kyle, and we have another special guest welcoming back to the show. We have Brittany Harada. Welcome back, Brittany.
Hi, thank you.
So it's been a few weeks since we've recorded. We hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving holiday. And we also had something special this past Sunday. We had a special guest speaker for our service. I don't know, but he was pretty awesome, I think.
At least his kids were.
Yeah, shout out to Karis for the amazing drawings that she had to make the prodigals come to life.
Yep. And Riley did a good job of sharing the declaration. Yep. Yeah,
I think it set the bar for the other kids to definitely. I gotta memorize that. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, so hopefully one day we will get all of our kids in our church to know what our family ministry declaration is. If you don't know what that is so far, check out our past YouTube from this past Sunday, and you'll hear it's pretty close to the beginning, Riley sharing what the declaration is. And really, it's just a statement of faith for our kids and something that they can hold on to as they grow up, and the truths of who God is, who they are, and what his plan is for us as we're on earth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so our guest speaker, Damon, spoke about kindness. We're continuing the fruit of the Spirit messages. We have a couple left. I like how we're going deeper in some of these topics that I think sometimes we can glance over or just assume we know what it's about. But like in kindness was similar to when I spoke on goodness. There's a different side. There's the feel-good kind of side, which is good and it's appropriate and it's actually true. But then there's another side where, like in God's goodness, sometimes it's doing things that are in his goodness, there's things that we have to face that are difficult, but he doesn't just remove them because that's going to teach us something. It's going to build something in us. And like in kindness, sometimes God in his kindness, like has us go through difficult things or has us in challenging situations because that's part of our development as well. And I really like how we're going deeper on these different topics, because I think even adults, it's good for the kids, but I think the adults too are getting more depth and maybe revisiting some of these things that they think, oh yeah, I got that. I'm already good on that. So just real quick, like, how about you guys? What have been your thoughts on the Fruit of the Spirit series so far?
I think in looking at the different perspective and like the biblical meaning of those words, or what does it look like in God's character, you really have to in certain ways be like a critical Christian thinker. Because I think at face value a lot of those things aren't what they seem or maybe what the world makes them out to be. And so with kindness, the difference between being nice and God's kindness is like, if you're just looking for the feel good stuff, you're going to think, you probably will end up thinking that God isn't very kind. And so then that contradicts, you know, what the word says. So then it's like, okay, how do you kind of reconcile that? But being able to think past just like for face value, what you think it is, but almost like search for his kindness in things going on, even if it's things that don't feel nice or don't feel good, can help you, I think, have a greater understanding of who God is. And really, he sets the standard for those words, what it is. It's not us defining it and then God fitting into that box, but it's really his goodness, his kindness, all of those things. He sets the standard of what is right. And then as a broken world, we don't often have those things line up, but as believers, that's like the standard or the understanding and the depth that God has for us.
Yeah, I like how you frame that, Brett, because I think that's what this series for me is doing. It's like a compare and contrast, like how does God and how does the Bible describe these things versus how does our world, our society define these things. And so I think it does hit home a little bit of like, oh, sometimes God's not nice. And it seems like that that's not right. That's not true. But no, the way nice is in our society, it's like, yeah, and sometimes God isn't nice, and that's okay. Like, I actually don't want God to be nice all the time, because then I'm actually going to be more self-centered, more, and just a lot of different things that could come out of that. And so actually in his goodness and his kindness, he's not nice all the time. So how about for you, Brittany?
Yeah, definitely being a feeler. I think there's, I mean, you feel the whole spectrum of emotions. And so when you're going through something that's really great, you can, you can recognize God's goodness, his kindness, all of these good things that he promises to us. But I think when you're kind of on the other end of things, on the other side of the spectrum, where things are hard and not as fun and not necessarily like I'm smiling all the time, just recognizing that God is still constant and steadfast in who he says he is. And it's just a different side of the coin, kind of. And so in kindness, like you were saying, like, God isn't always nice, and that's good for us. It's very good for us, because ultimately it comes down to his care, and that's unchanging. And so I thought it was really great that Damon kind of talked about both sides of the things, being, yeah, great and kind of on the top of the mountain, and then in your lowest valleys, God is still caring for us.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely getting a fuller picture of God's character, that we're getting to our people. And it's, yeah, sometimes it makes us wrestle with certain ways that we have viewed God, or ways that that get brought up, like, oh, I don't know if I want to view God. So it kind of has to, we have to wrestle with, is that the way I want to view, or is that the way I want God to be, versus, well, is that who God is? And sometimes there's some tension there, but I think it's a good place to be. But I want to hear a little bit more from our our awesome speaker from this Sunday, and see what other nuggets that he would want to share. So Damon, what else about, like, even kindness or just the fruit of the Spirit topic in general do you want to share?
I mean, to me, with talking about fruit of the Spirit and the contrast with the world, I think that's where really for me it hits home, is like, in order for me to experience God's kindness, it's a supernatural thing, or any of these characteristics. Like, there's a worldly perspective on them, which is what I can do out of my own strength or out of my own, like, willpower. But then the ways that the Lord has been revealing it to me, and as we've gone through these series, it's like, no, what he's talking about is something that's supernatural. Like, we can't do this on our own. Like, we can't be kind the way that he is on our own. I can't be loving the way that he is on my own, right? Like, he talks about loving our enemies. Well, how am I able to do that on my own? Like, I can't do that out of my own strength. But through his Spirit, when I'm abiding, then I'm able to love in that way, because he's allowing me, he's giving me the strength to do that. And so I think that's one of the things with this series that we're going through, it's for the Spirit. It's really comes down to, what does it look like for us to abide? And when we abide, what comes out of us? And that's when the fruit comes out. And it's a supernatural thing where people are like, I don't understand how you're able to do that, because that's so different. Like, I would do it totally different than you're doing it right now. But that's because they're trying to do it out of their own strength or their own willpower. But really what's happening is, it's through that abiding that it's actually coming out of us. And really that's what I think the fruit of the Spirit is to me.
Yeah, I like that, because it highlights the doing part has to be supernaturally, it has to come from a supernatural place. It can't come from our own flesh. But I think for me, while you were saying that, it also highlighted that the understanding part too. We have to understand it the way God intends these different characteristics. And that takes, like, supernatural, like, revelation as well, and understanding it. And if we don't understand it the correct way, then when we try to, like, enact it, it's going to come out from the wrong place. It's going to come out from the world's perspective or our flesh. And then it's going to be limited and not going to be the fullness of what God intends for that. So I think it's cool that we're going into the deeper understanding, but then, like you were just saying, it that releases then us to operate in it from a different perspective, from a supernatural perspective.
Yeah, and I think one thing that I didn't get a chance to mention is that as I was preparing for this message on kindness, one of the things that I felt like the Lord was impressing on me was his perspective on kindness is really the intersection of truth and love. Right. And so there is a truth aspect of it where we need to be able to speak the truth, But then at the same time, we needed to be able to do it in love and in our care for someone else mm-hmm. too, right? So the world will say, it's just about the love part. Like, let them, their truth is their truth. Let them live out their truth, right? But that's not the truth. And so really that's not very kind, because that can lead to their downfall or their destruction, right? Or something that can really hurt them if they're living out their truth as opposed to living out of the truth. And so that's one of the things that I felt like he was impressing on me, is that really it's where those two things come together, right? It's not just truth only where, so we're going back to messy grace again, right? But it's not just the truth only, because then that's not very kind either. If we're just laying down truth only, it has to come out of a place of love. And that's where all the, we've been talking about the fruit of the spirit characteristics, they come together, right? And so there is a love and there is a kindness next to each other working together. And because there's only one fruit, not multiple fruit, there's just one.
I think this series for me highlights the fruit, or the aspects of the fruit of the spirit. They seem to be pretty, I want to say easy, but it's easier when things are going well, right? When things Definitely. Are going well, it's like, oh yeah, I understand kindness. I understand peace and joy and love. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I get it. But what about when things get rough and things are tough? It's like, oh, but that aspect hasn't changed,
mm-hmm.
but it feels like it's distant, or it doesn't apply, or it feels like it was fake what I was believing before almost. So I think that that's an area that's really challenging for people. And I know that we've kind of talked about it on this show before, but,
you're Kyle, that was a pretty good segue.
I know, why are you laughing at me? I'm like, dude, did I miss something? I'm like, no. I thought I teed it up pretty good. And you're like, oh, man.
Yeah, no, I'm smiling because that was a really good segue. We were just talking. Before we started recording, we were talking about the difficulties of hosting and things like that.
I started feeling all self-conscious or like laughing or really smiling. I'm like, crap, did I miss something? Was somebody else going to say something?
It was perfect.
Trying to get Kyle to kind of take the lead on this episode, because I thought it was kind of weird since I was the one that spoke and kind of hosting and then talking about what I did. You know, I thought it was just kind of weird.
I misinterpreted your smile.
you misinterpreted my smile.
Okay, so we listened to an interesting podcast that talked about an interesting word. And so I'll let Damon take it from here, because I think he's going to take this part, because I did my part. So there you go, Damon.
Okay, so our fabulous podcast sharer,
podcast queen
Mimo shared this podcast with me and Kyle, and then I found out later that Brittany and Brett had already listened to it, because Brittany is a regular listener to this podcast, right? Mm-hmm. What's the name of the podcast?
It's called With the Perrys.
With the Perrys. So if you're interested, after this episode, we'll put in the show notes this episode that we're going to be talking about. But the episode talks about the word lament. And how many times have you ever heard that word in your life?
Maybe six.
I have never used it in my own vocabulary. I've heard it. I don't think I've ever said the word I'm lamenting, or...
I've only used it after we listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's fair. I think I have said it
like,
after that.
Even as a joke to Brittany, like, oh, I'm just lamenting about...
But, you know, there is a book in the Bible that's called Lamentations, right? And so this is a part of our experience of God,
mm-hmm.
is this... lamenting, but we don't talk about it that much in church, because it sometimes it doesn't feel good,
yeah.
right? And a lot of times at church, we want to feel good. We want to get excited about what God's doing. But I think one of the things that coming out of listening to this podcast is there needs to be a space for us to be able to experience lament. And so if you don't know what that word means, on the episode, they give a description of it, and I kind of like their definition of it. So, the definition that they used on this episode is, lamenting is a passionate expression of sorrow. And then N.T. Wright describes it as an appeal to God based on confidence in his character. So a lot of times when we lament, it's in a situation that's difficult, or we feel like we're grieving, or it's sorrowful. But then it's when we then go and appeal to God based on his character, saying like, this situation isn't good, but I know you're good. And so I'm coming to you in this time, right? And so I thought it would be cool for us to have this discussion. You know, we are in the middle of a holiday season, and, you know, as much as for a lot of us, we get excited to celebrate the holidays, for some people, the holidays can be difficult too. And so I thought it would be a good place and space for us to recognize that, yeah, sometimes the holidays are difficult for people, and maybe it's appropriate for us to talk about lamenting right now during the season. So, Brittany, that's part of the reason that we had you come on, because we've had some pretty cool discussions about that episode and lamenting. So is there anything that you'd like to share, or something that was highlighted to you when you were listening to the episode?
I think one of the biggest things that it comes down to is God made us human, and in humanness there's limitations, and there's also just a gamut of things that you can experience. And so while joy and excitement and, you know, praise are things that we experience, there's also the other side of humanness, where we feel sorrow and we feel grief and sadness. And so it's just really cool that, one, God made us to experience so many different things, but also that he sent Jesus to experience those things with us, so that we can, one, be in relationship with him, but also to relate to him in a way, or he can relate to us in a certain way. And so I think just in you know, difficult seasons or times where we're grieving or are having a hard time, just recognizing that the Lord created us to do that, but he also, like, gave us a resource to be able to be close to him, and that's Jesus.
I agree. I think, well, one thing about lamenting, I think, in kind of relation to the fruit of the Spirit, I would say the worldly view is like complaining.
Mm.
And so when I listened to this, I was like, oh, this is like biblical complaining. And almost like there's permission or freedom to do that. And the Lord, in this specific way, not in just a complaining way, but in lamenting, like, I think he does desire that from us, because he already knows our hearts and he knows what we're going through. Jesus was sent to be man, to know, to relate to his people. And so he experienced same emotions, anguish, things like that. And so he knows our hearts and how we feel and the things that we go through. But there is a way to do it. And I think listening to this podcast and discussing with Brittany and even processing it myself, it's like, oh, okay, there is an aspect of quote unquote complaining to the Lord that is very honest, and it really is inviting the Lord into that space. I think at times we can, or I'll just speak on behalf of myself, I will not go to that place because I'm like, the Lord doesn't want to hear this. Like, it sounds like a woe is me, or it sounds like a I'm complaining to the Lord, and like, who am I to say that this is how it should be or whatnot? But it's this process of, I think it was the definition that N.T. Wright gave. It's like the appeal to God's character, because you know his character to be one thing. Mm-hmm. And so when you don't experience that, it's asking God, or being honest with him and saying, I'm not experiencing that, but I know that this is part of your character. So what's going on? And in that, there is a deep level of vulnerability and I think truth to the Lord. And I think just in line with like hearing God's voice class and the things we've been doing at church, like, now there's a place for God to enter and speak to you, or for you to gain better understanding of where God has you, or what's going on, or even things that you need to clear up in yourself in order to then experience that character that you are appealing to God. And so I think there's there's so much to this topic that, yeah, I personally feel like it's the season that Brittany and I are in. Mm. And so I think it resonates, and it's there's so much in the topic itself that I think is good for people. Because essentially it's when life doesn't go your way and you believe in God, how do you deal with it? Mm-hmm. Because you could just stuff it and not lament, mm-hmm. but then does that create bitterness, or do you then hide stuff from God or feel like you can't go to him? Or are you always complaining all the time, but you're never appealing to his character and mm-hmm. recognizing, no, he is still good, even though I'm not experiencing goodness. It's that almost like contradiction, kind of like Damon said earlier, of how can I love my enemies? Well, it's like, how can I say that God is good even when I'm not experiencing goodness? And so, I think in terms of the holiday season and lamenting, I think we're all put in situations or having to deal with relationships or people that, or memories that aren't the best. And so it's the things that we're experiencing. How can we see, or how can we appeal to God's character even if this time of year isn't as jolly or good that it is for everybody else or that you see or it's made out to be? But how can we still experience what God has intended it for even when it may not feel or seem that way?
Yeah, I think one of the things in listening to this episode of that podcast that really stood out to me is it gave language to kind of how I had been feeling in the mm-hmm. season that I was in. So I don't know how much I've actually shared on the podcast about the past season that I've been in, but for me, it's been a very deep and intense season. And that's something that I've been, that's the way, the words that I've used to describe the season that I've been in. But when I was listening to the podcast, it was like, okay, I think it's giving language to how I was feeling, but really from the perspective of God laments. Mm-hmm. And he was wanting me to like experience more of his heart. So part of that came from actually from Brittany too. So she introduced this new song at church called New Heart, right? And part of the chorus, I think, says, "Show me your heart, Lord," right? And so I remember singing that part on the first time that she introduced that song. And then it was like, oh, God is showing me a different part of his heart mm-hmm. that I hadn't experienced or known before. And it's this lamenting side. And it's kind of like the way that they describe it on the podcast, right? A passionate expression of sorrow. But really it's a passionate expression of sorrow when people turn away from him. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, like, for me, it's like, I've said on the podcast, I want to be the type of person who has the type of faith that it doesn't matter if things aren't going my way, that I still want to have faith, right? And so it's like what I felt like he was saying is like, but there's still times where you're seeking for other things, right? You're still trying to find your fulfillment in watching this show or listening to this thing. I want you to find your fulfillment in me. But when you do turn away, that's how my heart is for you. Like, there's this longing for you to come back to me. I was like, oh man, if that's how the Lord feels about me, and I feel like I'm someone that has committed to him, like, how does he feel about people that aren't, right? Mm-hmm. How did he feel when Adam and Eve chose the other path? Like, there was this lamenting side too that he was trying to help me to experience, saying, this is my heart for people. I want them to return home. I want them to return to me. And it hurts. It hurts experiencing that. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that's kind of the place that he was taking me. And so before I would say, oh, it's a deep and intense season, but I feel like now with this language, it's like, oh, I can experience, like, oh, I was lamenting and I was experiencing the Lord's heart for lamenting for people. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was nice to be able to now feel like I have language for it. Cause for a long time I tell Brett and Kyle, I don't know how to explain what I'm going through. I just know it's deep and it's intense. And I don't know. I don't know how to say what my season is.
Yeah, it's interesting just listening to you all share it. I think, Brett, when you were sharing, it made me think of maybe a past view I've had of lamenting or even just grieving in general, or those types of words. It's like If you do it in an unhealthy way, it's like a kid having a temper tantrum or something, right? It's like, that's not good. You're not supposed to do it that way. So if you see it done, or even if you've done it that way, you're like, that's not good. I'm not supposed to do that. That's not healthy. But really, then to me, it more points to just maturity, right? And when you're immature, you might know that inside you need to lament, you need to grieve, you need to get it out, but you just don't have the maturity to do it in the right way, or in the way God wants you to do it. But then, hearing both of you, Brittany and Brett, share about like how you're doing it right now, it's like, oh, there's a maturity that's developing in that too, where you know certain truths about God's character, and you know that you're also not supposed to hold it in, yet it's kind of messy, but it needs to come out. And it's like listening to, I've talked to you guys both off the air, but it's listening to your journey. It's like, oh, that's a harder place to operate from, but it's a healthier place to operate from. But it just doesn't happen without like actually maturing into it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it shows, I think sometimes we don't understand fully lamenting until you go through like an intense season like you're in right now, Damon. But it doesn't mean that you have to have those to build up your maturity. You can be maturing along the way and in other ways. And then when that season of lament comes, it shows like, oh, I would have handled this a lot different 5 years ago, or I did handle this a lot different 5 years ago and I kind of shunned it and I didn't do it right. But now it's like, oh, I can tell I understand God more. I trust him more. I know he wants me to express myself. And yeah, I know I guess for me, I've never really like dove into it. I've been more of the suck it up, move on, you know, like, not necessarily just totally discard it, but really not embrace it at the same time. I think I have in certain seasons, and it was hard. But for most part, my personality is more bent that way. But I'm like, oh, maybe I need to be more aware or just receptive to those, even in small ways, that I need to step into that more.
Yeah, one cool thing about lamenting that I've learned after listening to this podcast and just experiencing, you know, the season of waiting and also grieving after miscarriage. One thing that I didn't realize about complaining to God is you're still going to God with your complaints. And so even though there is, I guess, complaining, quote unquote, it still shows your heart that you trust God, to go to him with your complaints. And even in that, like, the Lord is pleased and glorified. And so one thing for Brett and I feel like listening to this podcast that we keep referencing with the Perrys, it was almost encouraging for me, because I was like, oh, I think we're actually doing this season well. Like, as much as it's difficult and it doesn't feel like we're doing it perfect, like, we continue to go to the Lord and ask him, like, you've promised this to us, you've promised a child to us, and it's not necessarily matching up, but we still trust you, and you've promised that to us, and so we're going to hold on to that promise, and we're going to continue running to you. We're going to continue to try to do this well, and live out of what you've intended it for us, but it still doesn't match up, and that's okay. So yeah, I've just been really encouraged that, you know, again, it's not perfect, but we're still turning to the Lord, and we're still asking him to, you know, give us clarity, to give us discernment, to speak to us, and ultimately for him to be our biggest desire above everything else.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to clarify from my perspective too. I think lamenting has an aspect of complaining. Mm-hmm. So I think that's okay. I think when I was using the word before, it's more of like a worldly approach, right, to trying to lament. But it's like, it comes out as complaining and whining and
whining,
self-pity. So that's, whining is probably more the appropriate word, but it has more of a selfish, woe is me. And that happens when you lament, but it's based on then knowing God's character, like the way N.T. Wright described it too. It's the same, but then it stops at a at just you, and it doesn't then turn it the other way. So I think that's where I think this listening to this podcast really helped me get more of a fullness of what it, and that's where I see you guys operating more in that way too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the example they use on the podcast is like, as a parent, you have to tell your kids no for certain things and they don't understand. So sometimes they'll, you know, have a tantrum or they just can't understand why. So they get really upset. But then as the parent, you're also the one where when the child's in tears and has like a lot of sorrow, you're still the person that they come to. And so God being that figure for us is like, you know, we throw our tantrums or we get upset, we complain, why can't we have this now? Or why doesn't it look like this? But then the proper way of lamenting is, well, even in those tears, in that frustration, in that hurt, like, are we still going to him, right? And I thought that was a cool picture, because I'm sure you guys better than us have experienced that with your kids. But in a way, it's a, I think it actually gives a framework for people to have that space to complain, to lament. Because I think also it's like, I didn't know this. Well, there's an aspect of it that I was afraid to enter because I'm like, I don't know if this is quote unquote right.
Yeah.
But hearing them talk about it and discuss it more. And then even what I really enjoyed was the passage where they talked about Mary and Martha and their reactions with Jesus about Lazarus. I've been reading that in the mornings just because I feel like there's something there. It gives you like, not a formula, but like a how-to to bring certain things to the Lord, even when your heart and your circumstance doesn't match up with how you know God to be or what you think of God. And so in that way, I think it's allowed me to, I don't want to say practice it, but have a safe place to process and think about it and know that I can go to the Lord in that manner.
Can you describe that scene a little bit, the Mary Martha? Just because I think talking about it, referencing it, and then there's not really a lot of context, I think it would be good for listeners to understand what more of what's going on and what you're kind of talking about.
Yeah, so it's in John 11, and Lazarus is sick, Mary and Martha's brother. And when Jesus first hears that he's sick, in verse 4, he says, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." And then it goes on, and it's not until like verse 17 when Jesus comes to talk to Mary and Martha.
And this is like 2 or 3 days later, right?
Yeah.
Like he didn't go right away.
No, he didn't, yeah. Jesus found that Lazarus has now passed. So he was sick, but then now he's already passed. And so he's been laid, it says, for 4 days. And then this is the part of the lamenting, or in the podcast they use this as an example. In verse 21, this is Martha talking to Jesus. She says, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus responds to her by saying, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answers, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And then Jesus says that he's the resurrection. He's the one who brings life. Everybody who believes in me will never die. And then he asks her, "Do you believe this?" And she says, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." So after that, she gets Mary. And Mary says a similar thing of like, "If you were here, this wouldn't have happened," essentially. And after Mary's response, Jesus saw her weeping, and then he starts to get moved. And it says that he was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled, and he asks where he is. And then that's when the infamous verse, Jesus wept. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus ends up bringing Lazarus back to life. And so I think a lot of it is focused, for me, the story, I've heard that story, a lot of it is focused on like, like, oh, God can bring people back to life, or like God has that power. But the interactions between the sisters and Jesus is like, I took a step back and thought about it, and they both say, if you were here, this wouldn't have happened. And I was like, how many times do I feel like that? Jesus, if you just did what you were supposed to do, this person that I know you're supposed to be, if you just did this, this outcome in my life wouldn't have happened. This wouldn't have happened. This person would have been whatever. You know, like, mm-hmm. there's so many ways in life where you're like, if Jesus was just here or he just did this, this wouldn't have happened. But oftentimes, I think that's where it ends, mm-hmm. right? For me, or just when you think about it, you're in your complaints, you're like, man, if God could have just done something, then it would have been different. And it ends there. But right after, Martha acknowledges, she says, I know you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God, so that there is life after this. And he asks, well, do you believe that? And she's like, yeah, I totally believe that. And so that way of lamenting is like, to a certain degree, I'm like, she has the audacity to tell Jesus, dude, if you were here, he would still be alive. Like almost placing blame on him. Mm-hmm. If you were here, this wouldn't have happened, but I still know that my brother will have life. Mm-hmm. And so it's still going to God and knowing you're the Messiah. I still know you have that power. I know that you're able to do that. I know that you're here to, you know, do all of these things. But her initial response to him was, if you were here, this wouldn't have happened. And so to me, I was sitting there like, how do I kind of not replicate that, but in my own life, what does that look like, right? To complain, to learn, say, God, if you would just answer my prayer, if you would just make this happen, I think things would be better. But to then, and to me, this is where our church is, like with surrender, wholehearted surrender, mm-hmm. with bringing things into the light. It's like, okay, God, it didn't happen the way I thought. All right. If you were here, I think things would have been different, but it didn't happen. But I still need to surrender to you because I know you are the God that gives life. I know you are a God that fulfills promises. And so even in me not experiencing it, I need to have the same attitude that Martha and Mary had, where they were like, my brother would still be alive if you had came earlier or if you did something. But I know that you're the author of life. I know that you have the power to do whatever you want to do. And so I still believe and acknowledge that in you. And that's what I'm going to hold on to. I'm just expressing what I'm going through and what I'm experiencing. But the thing that I'm going to hold on to and look to is knowing that you're the King of Kings, whatever it is, whatever situation it is. And so for me, that story and that picture, is powerful, and there's a lot to it in there that I think we can take from, mm-hmm. because then even afterwards, Jesus responds, he gets moved, mm-hmm. right? And so he does experience what we're experiencing. It says he was deeply troubled, right? So there's something in his spirit that moved, and then he ended up crying, mm-hmm. just as they were crying. And then what ends up happening is the resurrection of Lazarus. And so to me, there's still things I'm processing as I keep reading it and asking the Lord what's there for me. But I just feel like that's a relevant and powerful picture for us, because I know that there's a lot of people where life isn't going the way that they thought, or we all run into things where this is not what we thought, we don't like this, this is hard, we have a reason to complain, but can we do it in a way that is still glorifying to the Lord? And I think that's where he will meet you in it. When it's just sometimes like the whiny stuff, it's like, mm-hmm. God's like, I don't got time for that. You know how many people are whining? You know, it's like, but in going to him still, I think it is a posture of surrender, because you're letting go of and expressing what you think is right or how it should be, mm-hmm. and saying, okay, but you're God, so here I am.
Yeah, I think we do want to go to like Genesis. They talked a little bit about stuff kind of before the fall. But I know when you were sharing, because I know the episode's probably getting kind of long already, right? But I know when you were sharing it, it kind of made me think that you're starting to understand or even receive permission to do this, right? Versus before is like, can I do this? Do I have the right to do it almost? But like even like just like the way you're describing your journey and stuff, it's almost like you're realizing a permission and like an acceptance of like, no, this is the Lord wants me to do this.
I think that's a big aspect of it, but I also think an even bigger aspect of it is between Brittany and I. Because she is a more stronger feeler than I am, and because as I think being the woman, there's just a different, when it comes to miscarriage, when it comes to pregnancy things, there's just a different depth that it hits. And so I can't relate to certain degrees. And so when she is feeling certain things or expressing certain things, sometimes I'm like, yo, you need to chill out. Right? That's how I feel in my spirit, because it gets to that uncomfortable place where it's like almost like we need to like fall in line and do right in the Lord's eyes, or else he's not gonna bless us almost, right? There's that fear, like, oh man, we're disrespecting him. So he's like, why should I bless you, or why should I give you what you want? But to see this, it's like there's more of a peace. I think the permission, it's like a peace of like, oh no, she can tell Jesus, dude, if you were here, this wouldn't have happened, right? Like you can go to that place, but still acknowledge who God is. And then it's like, okay, there is God's hand in it, even when it feels like his hand's not in it. I think that's the biggest thing for me, where I felt worried of like, we're going to a place where God's hand isn't, or we're stepping out of alignment of him. But really, I think this permission and peace has allowed us in our own ways and then together to feel like we're still in alignment. Like she said, we feel like we're still doing it in a good way. Well, when she asked me at first, she said, I think we're handling it in a good way. I said, are you sure? But
dang.
But I think
no trust.
No, well, it's just checking ourselves. I just want, you know, I don't want to be like, yeah, we're doing such a good job. No, but I think there is that peace or permission of like, okay, it can, for lack of better terms, the thing that we've come to agreement is like, it can be messy, but it's still like aligning our mess with the Lord, so to say.
Yeah, like your heart is aligned.
Yeah.
The right posture.
So then now I feel like I have way more peace and, like you said, permission to be like, go ahead, Brittany, go off.
Go, Brittany, you got permission now.
Go off, but just make sure you acknowledge the Lord at the end.
just stay on the rails. Don't go off the rails. Just
make sure it's a correct appeal.
I think one thing for me that's being highlighted as we talk about lamenting is kind of going back to the beginning of the episode when we were talking about fruit of the Spirit. It's like there's a worldly way to do things, and then there's like the supernatural way to do things, right? Yeah. And so with difficult situations, like the world will say, oh, you have to. Nowadays, it's pretty drastic on both sides, right? It's like you either need to shove it and don't think about it and just buck up and, you know, get on with your life, or you need to like let it all out and spiral till there's nothing left, and then you can you know, crawl back out of the muck, right? But I think as we're talking about lamenting, it's how do we do both of those in a healthy way, and giving ourselves space to feel both, right? It's like giving ourselves space to feel like there's going to be times in this difficult situation where I might feel some joy, or I might feel happy, and that's okay. But there's also going to be times in this difficult situation where I might feel gross and bad, and that's okay too. But in both situations, to make our appeal to the Lord and say, God, you're with me in this situation. I don't want to lose sight of that, because if I lose sight of that, then I can go to one of those other places, right? And both of those places are not healthy, right? And in our emotionally healthy class, I think that's one of the things that was highlighted with the iceberg lesson, is that when we just shove everything underneath the surface, it affects us later. And we might not even recognize how it affects us. And I think that's one of the things that was highlighted to me in that class, was there was something that was affecting me from like 20 years before that the Lord brought to mind. And it's saying, this is still affecting you today. You need to deal with it. And I honestly hadn't thought about that situation in 20 years, but the Lord brought it to mind and said, we need to deal with this because it's affecting how other relationships in your life or how you're experiencing certain things. So you need to deal with it. And that was a result of trying to just shove it underneath and not even think about it anymore. And, you know, it still affected me in a negative way because I was just trying to shove it. So I think part of this lamenting process is to give ourselves space to be able to release that and release it to the Lord in a healthy way and help us to recognize that that's okay. Like, he's big enough that he can carry that. He can take it. Mm-hmm. And it is part of the surrender. Like, we're surrendering this feeling or this experience or what's going on to him. And
I think that's a good segue now into, I really wanted to touch into the part about suffering, and that's pre-fall, like they talked about it in the podcast, because I thought that topic was, I've never thought of it that way. Mm-hmm. So it kind of ties in with like the world's definition of what suffering is. It's like, work and labor and these different things. It's like, I have to suffer through this. But Damon, do you want to take us through that part?
I thought we weren't going there.
Oh, you thought we weren't going to go there? Mm-hmm. Oh, did you guys talk about that before I sat down?
No, we just said if we were going to go there, it could end up being pretty long. But okay. I think we can give a generalization of what they're talking about. So
yeah, and I think to give people just some food for thought, whether we flesh it out really, but just I think it's an interesting topic for people to carry forward and just like, how does that work?
So one of the things that they had talked about is kind of two different perspectives on what we would consider suffering, right? So they were trying to highlight three scenarios that the Lord gave us before sin entered the world that today we might look at as suffering, mm-hmm. but actually in the beginning, it was good, right? And so there were three scenarios that they talked about, right? One of them was work. Right. So a lot of people nowadays like, I can't wait till I retire. I don't want to work anymore. But before sin entered the world, God gave Adam a job. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to cultivate the garden and spread it out to the rest of the world.
Adam the gardener.
And he had to name all the animals and care for he actually had a job. Right. And so that was before sin entered the world. But I mean, sin obviously tainted the work, made it more difficult. But that was something that the Lord said was good before the fall, right? And there was an interdependence that they had, right? That was the one thing that the Lord said was not good, was that they were alone, right? But in our culture today, it's like, I need to be independent. I need to be able to do everything myself, right? And feeling like I need somebody else, that's like there's a suffering in that. At least some people might say that feeling like I need somebody else, like that there's like suffering in that, right? But that was something that the Lord initiated before sin entered the world, and he said it was something that was good, right? And then the third one was limitations because of our humanity, and Brittany had mentioned this a little bit before, is that there were restrictions because of who we were, right? God gave Adam and Eve restrictions. He said, you know, don't eat from this one tree, right? Because if you eat from that tree, that's not going to be good for you, which we now know was really not good for them and not good for us either.
Surprise, he didn't lie to you.
Not good for us either. But restrictions on what they could and couldn't do were something that was good from the beginning, right? But nowadays, like, I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to be restricted. Well, I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. I don't want all these rules and things like
you
that.
You sound
right?
Like my kids right now.
I know how it is, but, right. So we look at that rules and things that we have to do or people telling us what to do. We look at that as suffering, but at the beginning, that was something that God initiated before sin entered the world, and it was for their good. Mm-hmm. Right. And I liked one of the things that they said about that scenario with, you know, why was the tree in the middle of the garden? Mm-hmm. It's like, in order to build trust, there needs to be opportunities for distrust. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you don't ever grow in your trust, right? And so for them, the reason that the tree was in the middle is that every time they passed by the tree, they had to say, okay, am I going to trust what the Lord said about this tree, or am I going to go a different direction, right? And it was opportunity for them to build their trust with him. And that can only come if there's opportunities for distrust. And so for those three things, we look at them as potential areas of suffering, but they were actually things that the Lord implemented before sin, and they were good.
That's a whole nother message.
Yeah.
even you bringing that up, the tree being in the middle. I mean, I always go back to this, but it's like when it comes to the fruit of spirit and the characters, how does the world see it versus how does God see it? This aspect that the of what God said was good before sin. There's so many areas that have this, well, one, have this tension where it's like, okay, it's not just one side or the other. But the other aspect that is really highlighted to me is you can't develop or experience these things unless there's some form of, I don't want to just say adversity, but like testing, mm-hmm. right? In all of this, in lamenting, mm-hmm. in all of it, there has to be some form of testing. Mm-hmm. And to a greater degree, I think the world makes you feel like you shouldn't have to go through that. Whether it's ease, convenience, if it doesn't work for you, you don't need it. All those messaging, I think, is part of why the fruit of spirit and those characteristics, the world sees it in one light because it's like, it should only fit what's nice and easy and good for you. Mm-hmm. But the way that God has it designed is you're only really going to be kind if you're put in a position where you either have to be kind or you're not going to be kind. Just like the tree in the middle. Mm-hmm. You got to walk past it each day. You're either going to listen to what I said or you're going to not. Mm-hmm. Right? And so in all of these situations, I see like God's given us free will to make those decisions, to experience what he does have for us. And it's there is a aspect of it that just comes down to like being about it. And I think that's probably why this podcast hit so much home for me, because I'm wired that way, or that's just something that I has been pressed upon my heart. And so hearing you share that, it just roused me up in a certain way, because I'm like, there's so much there for it. There's like, that's a whole nother message and topic and something to dive into. But I do think it's very interesting to see the contrast of like before sin entered, those things, that perspective versus after.
I mean, Brittany, for me, I want to hear your perspective on that part about suffering. Mm-hmm. And really, because it's really, do we have the right perspective? Because I think if we go into a season where there's grief, there's sorrow, but we're maybe looking at the thing that we're grieving or having sorrow about in the wrong way, mm-hmm. then are we actually making it harder on ourselves because we're just off course a little bit? So that. Because for me, that was what I gained out of this part, is like, oh, yeah, how often do I see something from my own view, my own flesh, or my own experiences, but that's really counter to actually the way God sees it. So not necessarily that it's the same for what your season you're in, but like, did that like enlighten you, or did that challenge your way of viewing suffering at all?
Yeah, definitely. I think God asks us to renew our minds. So shout out Pastor Ross. we just finished that
sermon series.
Yeah. And so I think a lot of it is changing the way that we see suffering. And so not to say that, anything that we're experiencing here on earth is not suffering, because right. that's not true. Mm-hmm. Even though the Lord promises that we're going to experience suffering, but I think to see it in a different way that, kind of like what Brett was saying, like in order for trust to be built, there needs to be an opportunity for distrust. And in the same way, like we are going to be tested. And so this suffering may be almost a test to see where our hearts are. Mm-hmm. And one thing that they also brought up that I thought was from the podcast was really cool was, as much as the suffering causes it just doesn't feel good. It's an opportunity to choose the best thing, which is the Lord. Like ultimately, despite whatever you're feeling, whatever thing you're grieving, whatever difficult season it may be, you can kind of use that to your advantage almost to get the best thing, which is the Lord. And so whether he redeems your situation or he gives you something that you've been wanting, or if he doesn't, you know, ultimately the thing that is the greatest is that God is with us. So Emmanuel is one thing that they really touched on. He is with us, and that is a gift. And so I think just changing my mind frame in recognizing, okay, these things are good. Like wanting children is not a bad thing. And you know, miscarrying was not a good thing also. But the thing that's even better than both of those things is that the Lord is with us and that he wants a relationship with us. And so that's been really helpful, I think, to turn my heart towards him versus, you know, these are the things I want. God, you're not answering those things. And so what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely, this is not projecting to you guys, but like to use that same example of wanting kids is not bad, but it can be, right? Mm-hmm. So there's anything that could be good still can have it. Like if you want kids because you idolize or because you want to place them above God, you know, like, so anything like that too, I think it's, for me, this whole lamenting, this, it's like, oh, okay, this season of lamenting I'm in, is it really a pure season? Or is it, am I bringing it on myself because of choices I've made? And this suffering is coming my way because I have actually fallen out of alignment with God and what he wants for me.
Right.
But then I think that's where it gets messy, are we willing to look inside and say like, oh, am I pure? Because that's where God, sometimes he needs to get into your heart and be like, oh no, this hasn't gone away because of da-da-da-da-da. Like, I want you to address these areas. But I think, I know for me personally, that's not a place I want to go to usually until I'm broken enough where it's like, oh shoot, okay, maybe there is something else. But I mean, there's pride, there's other things that can like want to put a lid on it. But I'm like, oh, maybe that's some of why I haven't really pursued lamenting when I've had those seasons where it was an opportunity, because I just didn't really want to get down to the nitty gritty of what was going on. So, I wanted to bring that up because I think for our listeners, sometimes there's that other side of, oh, this season you're in, it's like, oh, there's something that you have to deal with and God's trying to get your attention. Right. Not just like, not that he does that all the time. And I think those are actually sometimes more rare, but it's like, if we're not aware of that, then it's like, you could be just beating your head against God and like, it's like, no, I'm trying to actually just get you to recognize what's going on inside.
Yeah, kind of in line with that, I think we have said the word testing a few times on this episode. And I think a lot of times when we look at testing or we think about testing, we think it's like, I have to pass or I have to fail, right? It's like, I'm going to pass this test, or, oh man, if I do it wrong, I'm going to fail this test. But sometimes I think we need to change our perspective on what a test is and recognize it's more like an assessment. It's like helps us to assess where we're at and what's going on inside of us, so that then we're able to recognize like, oh, this might be an area of growth that the Lord wants for me. It's like, oh, this is an area that I'm not trusting the Lord with, or, oh, this is an area that he's highlighted for me during this season that he wants to shore up. And so I think sometimes with testing, it's like, if we look at it from the past fail, it's like, oh man, I'm going to, you know, tighten up my bootstraps and I'm going to get through this season. But really, it's more that the Lord wants to show us his care for our heart and the areas that we're not either submitted to him, or that there's brokenness, or that he wants to bring healing to, or just other things that he's trying to highlight for us. But when we take that perspective of pass fail, it's hard to address those areas because we're just trying to will ourselves to pass the test.
All right. I mean, I think on that line too, if we don't have a full understanding of God's character, then that can come where he's like, oh, God's trying to trap me, or he's trying to manipulate me like by the test, right? And so that's why that we're testing, even from a secular, it can have a very negative, like, oh, you believe in a God who tests you? It's like, well, in the Bible, it says he does. And not that everything that happens is a test, but he does it from his character, from who, and what he wants for us. So it comes from the right place. But if from a worldly thing, it's like, well, sometimes we test my kids, or my kids test my patients, you know, or this or that, because they're trying to manipulate, or they're trying to gain, you know, some kind of advantage or point out some flaw. Whereas that God, even if he is trying to point out something, it's because of his love. And like you were saying, his heart, Damon, earlier, you were saying how his heart grieves for us when we're not operating the way he really, you know, intends for us.
Yeah. And I think also that's why community is so important. There, I mean, when you're kind of coming to the end of yourself and you feel like you're in a test versus an assessment, it feels like, oh God, like your view of who God is can become so distorted. And so, I guess I'll pose a question.
Oh no.
Like, what does it look like to lament in community?
It looks messy.
Yeah, probably.
That's the first thing that came up. You know what? I had this thought when we were early on in this podcast, when we were recording, like, how often do we not want to because we don't know how to, right? We haven't had good examples of people doing it in a healthy way, where it comes off as whining, or it comes off as like just emotion vomit all over. And it's like, I don't know how to handle it. And so we can do it when we're happy. And it's like, yeah, we can support. Oh yeah. High fives and everybody's good. But I don't know if we've modeled it well or I've had it modeled well. I think over time it has become, I guess, a little bit more clear and modeled better, but I think I avoided it because it seemed very messy. It seemed very, I don't know how to do this. And it's, I don't know, it just feels uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So I think to do it in community, you have to have an area or a place of trust. Because trust and vulnerability, if you don't have that, then it's not really going to be lament. It's going to be just kind of complaining or sharing, but it's really not going to be the fullness.
And I'm wondering, okay, so one of the things that came out on with the Perry's podcast is that the person that they were talking with, she's a worship leader and she's a worship pastor, I think. And so one of the things that she talks about is how, I think it's like half the Psalms are laments. And so I'm wondering if maybe that's the place to do it, is actually in our worship time. But, you know, sometimes those ones don't feel good. So it's hard to want to go to those places during a worship set. But maybe that's a place for corporate, like, lamenting is in our worship. And we just, it doesn't always feel good, so we don't go to those places, right? And so I'm wondering if that's part of it. And that maybe that's part of why they talked to her about it specifically, is to give us space to say, maybe there is room for that to occur in a worship setting where we're able to come together in that place where it feels safe. It's in community, as opposed to it just being like, not to say gossipy, but just like we're talking about it and we're, you know, like it's a different setting where it's like we're bringing this to the Lord together in a corporate way through our worship, but in a lamenting theme or a style or like that. I don't know. What do you think as a worship leader, Brittany?
It's tough because you... As a worship leader, you want to make sure that there's space for whatever people are experiencing. And that can be literally the whole spectrum in one service, right? And so that's one thing that I've recognized I'm not really great at is like the happy, happy, joy, joy stuff. Like that's not my wheelhouse. And so I like to give space a lot more for like the reflective, deep, intense kind of stuff, where there's like, you know, we're crying out to the Lord versus praise. And so I know I need to do better on my part about kind of experiencing the whole experience of what people are, you know, going through. But I do think we also as a Big C church don't do a great job creating space for the metaphor that they used was like, how do we allow people to experience, or sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. How do we allow people to, you know, experience what they've experienced in a funeral, in a wedding? Like we, that's not, it's not equatable and it's not fair to the people who are going to the funeral to want to experience a wedding and vice versa. And so how do we create a space that is almost fair for everybody to experience anything that's going on? So I don't have an answer to be short, but I think that's something that I'm going to be experimenting with a little bit as I get more opportunities to lead.
And I'm wondering too, if, you know, you were saying like you need to get better at praise. It's like, maybe that's not your role, right? Maybe that's someone else's role. And so you just need to like step into the, who you are, and then allow someone else to step into the praise portion instead of saying like, oh, I need to get better at this one. It's like, maybe what you are doing is you are taking people to places that they're not able to experience with someone else. And someone else's role is to take them to places that they can't experience with you, you know, and that's where the body of Christ can complement each other, as opposed to feeling like, oh, I got to be the one to do it all.
Yeah, that's true.
I kind of want to hear Brett's answer to the question of community,
lamenting
in community. Cause I think you guys are both small group leaders, but I know you've kind of struggled with this as a leader. How do we journey through this stuff together?
Well, I was actually going to give props to the two of you, because I when you asked that question, there's been, I think, a couple specific memories or times that came into my head that I was like, I think it kind of looked like that. So I think the first one was when we found out we miscarried, and it was maybe like a day later, or I don't know.
It was the same day.
Maybe the same day I came in and I told you guys, and if that wasn't a passionate expression of sorrow, then I don't know what is. But in that time, there was a outpouring. Maybe I was on the border of emotional vomit. But and I think you guys, the best way I could describe or depict it, it's like there was a space for all of that to come out. And I wasn't going insane, because there was still an acknowledgement of God. And you guys didn't try to correct me in a certain way or say, no, I think that's incorrect, or no, this is how God works. There was a reinforcement to who God is, but also a reinforcement to meeting me where I am. And I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to anything corporate or in community, is people have to be okay with meeting each other where they're at. I think a lot of times when something kind of comes up and it bugs you, you try to get that person to either get out of that space or more to where you're comfortable with. But like, can you be okay in sitting in the, oh, this feels weird, like he's, Brett's ugly crying, and he's, you know, he's saying things where I'm like, I don't understand, or I haven't been there. But like, stepping aside from that and being with them where they're at, while not losing sight of, you know, but I still trust that the Lord has his hand over. Like, there's that weird space where it's like, not to just tell them, oh, well, God is good, so like, you'll be fine, right? Because that's like ignoring where they're actually at in the lamenting. But then it's to meet them there, you know, I feel for you, to kind of almost reiterate what they're going through and how you can understand or see what they're feeling, but then also saying, you know, so we're going to pray into knowing who God is, or, you know, but I still trust that I've seen God work in your life, and so I know he's, you know, it's like having that balance. And so I think with every situation, it's a little different. I definitely think that's a season. Also on the other end, that it's been challenging, because while I'm in a season of lamenting or wrestling with that, it's like I still have to continue my role and responsibilities. And so I can't just like pause on, youth group. I can't just pause on small group. I can't just pause of being part of the church staff. Like, I still have to bring who I am to the table. And some of that comes with other people have been lamenting to me. And I'm like, there's a part of me that's like, I don't even know what I'm doing. So how can I help you? Mm-hmm. But in that, I think that's where it's like, I'm just trying to meet them where they are, mm-hmm. and then continue to invite the Lord and go to the Lord in that. Like, I can't have the answer. I don't have the answer. I can't change the situation. I can't necessarily do anything, but it's, I've been really trying to seek the Lord. Okay, what am I supposed to do? Because I don't even know what I'm doing in my own life. And so help me meet them where they are so that I can walk with them and just point them back to God or encourage them to bring those things to the Lord. I acknowledge the Lord in those things and walk with them in that. And so hopefully I'm doing it right. It's kind of a work in progress, or kind of feeling what that looks like out. But yeah, sometimes I'm like, we all got too much. So
you're getting your master's in lamenting right now.
Yeah, we need the Lord to, God, if you were there, you would speed it up.
Well, I think as you were talking, it brought to mind an ancient, well, I don't know if it's ancient, but a Jewish practice is called sitting Shiva. And it's generally, I think it's after someone passes away, but it's people come, I think it's for a week, and you just sit with the family. Like, you're not even supposed to say anything. You're just supposed mm-hmm. to sit there so that they mm-hmm. have space to share with how they're feeling or share. Mm-hmm. But you're just there present so that they know that they're not alone. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think, especially for myself as a guy, I try to fix the problem and that doesn't always work, right? It's like, oh, you're not hearing me, or you're not experiencing, mm-hmm. You're not understanding what I'm experiencing because you're just trying to fix the problem, right? And so, or at least for me, I try to fix the problem. It's like, so as we're talking, it's like, oh man, I think I really do need to take a step back and just listen sometimes and not try to go immediately to, how do we fix this problem, right? And so, yeah, I think that practice of sitting Shiva and just being with people in where they're at, I think that's a picture of what it can look like in community too.
Mm. Yeah, creating space, right?
Yeah.
I think the other aspect that I forgot to mention that I think you guys have done a good job, personally I've experienced, is there's that space to let it be. And obviously knowing me and liking to analyze or process or whatever, there's a, I don't want to say follow-up, like, oh, I need to make sure that, but there is like a, if you do want to talk about it, or like once you're, the emotions are a little bit more settled or whatever it is, it's like having a space to help process and not necessarily give the answer, but like ask questions or even, you know, like work through it together. I think that's another big aspect of it. It's not just telling them, okay, you need to do this, because then if you do this, then it's done. Mm-hmm. It's like, huh, like I'm going to pray about it too and ask the Lord. Have you asked the Lord? And like working through it together like that, I think that's a huge portion of walking it out together, is that at times you guys have given me advice like, hey, I think you should do this. But other times it's more just like picking each other's brains and mm-hmm. seeing, okay, what are you sensing about this? Or have you thought about this? What do you think about this? Or even me asking questions, right? And that is like the, I think, building of trust, but also working out the, in kind of more of a practical action step, the lamenting of, okay, how do I work through this season and not just sit and now I'm just like, okay, but nothing has progressed. There's a helping to move forward and take steps forward, even if it doesn't change the circumstance. I think spiritually, mentally, emotionally, it helps you progress and it helps you sharpen each other and it helps you grow. And so I think that's been a very beneficial and fruitful aspect of it. So thank you guys.
You were doing it without
you even knowing you were doing it.
I like this episode. Start off by giving myself props and then get props at the end. I like that.
Hey, word of affirmation is my love language. Thanks, Brett. I'm feeling loved. No, I think it just highlights too that the whole Christian journey is meant to be in relationship. Right, mm-hmm. It's not meant to be like, oh, you got to figure it out on your own. I mean, yeah. There's aspects and there's times where that's valuable and that's that is needed, but really ultimately it's like we're supposed to be doing it with each other. We're supposed to be walking alongside. We're supposed to be pulling each other along or even pushing each other forward. And not to get too long into this, but I remember that day you came in here. I specifically, me and Damon were standing here talking and you came in. It was like, oh, there's something going on. Like you could see it on you. And then as you shared, it was like, oh my gosh, like this is raw. Cause you just came from that doctor appointment. And it was like, oh my gosh, we're the first people.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not going to work today.
But it was like, yeah, that, I mean, even your rawness of like, this sucks. Like, it wasn't easy or comfortable, but it was like, oh yeah, you need to get it out as well. So yeah.
Thanks, you guys.
Okay, we're all teary-eyed now. It's a good thing it's not a YouTube or a video recording.
All right, well, I mean, we're getting a little bit long on time, so...
Let's go for an all-time record. Like.
I think one of those Ask the Pastor was over an hour and a half, okay. So we would still have to go quite a bit. But okay. Brittany, do you have any closing thoughts for us before we sign off on this episode?
I think as Brett and I are in this season of waiting and grieving, I want to be better about lamenting in community. And so I think if anybody, you know, would want to kind of sit with me and be able to lament on their own, like I would love to be that community for somebody. Yeah. And I think I would just encourage everyone to, you know, like it's going to be messy, but like, it's going to be really good too. It's that renewing of what is good, mm-hmm. renewing our minds of what is good. And so, I want to create that space. And so I hope also, people around us are willing to create that space, to lament or to experience the greatest things ever also.
And I do want to bring it back to something you had said earlier, Brittany, is that this is a season of Emmanuel, mm-hmm. right? As we're preparing for, Advent just started this past Sunday. You know, we are preparing for Christmas time to come, and the Lord is with us, mm-hmm. right? And so as we talk about lament, as we've reflected on it, I think that's one of the things that we want to highlight is that in the darkest times, in the hardest times, the Lord is with us, whether we feel like he is or not, he is, and he wants us to draw near to him in those times. And so when we lament the way that he wants us to, we're able to come to him with the deepest desires of our heart and recognize his character and his care for us and draw near to him. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that's where I would like to leave us with is just as we lament, may we experience the Lord's heart for us and our ability to draw near to him in those times. Mm-hmm. So thanks again, Brittany, for coming on. Appreciate you. And, you know, we love having those female voices and you're one of the ones we love to have the most. So thank you for coming on.
Yeah, we got to have more of these heavy topics. These are fun.
So and thanks for everyone out there listening. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.